I had a good week. I hope you guys had a good week. I think the warm weather helped. We had, you know, I call 35 degrees warm because we're used to minus 35 wind chills. But I think one of the reasons that I had a good week is because the warm weather allowed me to have interaction with more people. I was out and about. You know, the cold weather and the bad roads, and I think sometimes the grumpy attitudes that come with the cold weather and the bad roads have kind of kept me from interacting as much as I enjoy doing. And this week I was actually able to get out and be with people and participate in this thing we call the body of Christ. And that's kind of where I want us to go this morning. If you have a Bible or if you want to grab the pew Bible in front of you, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2 today, verses 41 and 42. And I'll just let you put your finger there because we're not quite ready to read it yet. But as I think about the body of Christ, the church, the gathered community of believers, whatever you like to call it, it's kind of sad because we don't have the same reputation, the same impact on the world as maybe we did several years ago. The church used to be a place that was really respected, that people looked to for help, for healing, for growth, for answers. And that the church and the people in the church have consistently dropped on the list of things that are helpful in a broken and hurting world. Not so much spirituality, because I think spirituality is in right now. Spirituality is a big deal right now. But while spirituality is in, the local church is out. And this is sad, because I don't think that you can separate the two in a healthy way. We were created for community. We were created to journey through life together. You know, one of my favorite scriptures in all of Bible is iron sharpens iron. You know, we have to do life together, and sometimes that means rubbing up against each other. You know, when I think of ironing sharpening iron, you know, I in my head I picture the sparks and the sound that's not very fun on our ears sometimes. You know, it's not always a beautiful thing, but it leads to beauty. It leads to us becoming more aware of who God created us to be, more aware of the mission that He gave us, and it's an exciting thing. And God left us the church as a way for us to be refined, as a way for us to grow, and as His fulfillment of His mission to redeem the world. And so this body of Christ, this church, this gathered community of believers is vital. It's important. Unfortunately, the rest of the world has kind of lost that mentality. And so as I was praying through and thinking through my sermon this week, I asked myself, how is the church seen today from those that aren't part of it? And a guy that I really admire and look up to a lot is named Dan Kimball. And he's written several books. He's not a friend, but he's a friend of friends. He teaches at George Fox and has a very... my friend Dave Kingery would say he's more Quaker than he thinks. He wrote a book called They Like Jesus But Not the Church. And in his book, I'm just going to summarize it with a few points. How do people see the church today? Well, they see it as form before substance. They see it as conformity before creativity. They see it as tradition before truth. They see it as more concerned about following their personal preferences than the leading of the Holy Spirit. And sadly, some people have even advocated leaving the church to save their faith. That's a scary sentence. People are advocating leaving the church to save their faith. So they're doing that thing that we just agreed together is pretty hard. You can't separate spirituality from the church in an effective way, and yet people are advocating that you can. It's scary. George Barna, who's a Christian researcher, he likes to compile data and come up with statistics that are really shocking to us as Christians, probably because most of them are true and they're kind of scary. But he talks about how a large number of American Christians are being disillusioned with the church. And he supports that there's a trend happening right now, and he's labeling these church dropouts revolutionaries. And the reason he does that is because they're on the verge of forcing a decline in the churches in the 21st century. Young Christians are leaving the church in multitudes because of this very way that the church is seen in the world. They're advocating, if we're going to save our spirituality, if we're going to save our faith, we have to leave the church. It's very sad and very scary and very depressing because when I read Scripture, I see the exact opposite. God created the church to do exactly what they're trying to do by leaving it. Many professing Christians look at themselves and say, oh, well, I'm part of the church, capital C, I'm part of the universal church, and yet aren't part of a local representation of the church, which when I read Scripture, I don't see that is a reality. There are local churches in Scripture. If there weren't, we wouldn't have several of our books of the Bible because these are letters to local churches. But while many have given up on the church, Jesus hasn't. Jesus left, and he left his apostles to do a work, and that work turned into the church. When you read the book of Acts, this is the birth of church as we know it. This is the birth of local congregations. This is the birth of preaching and teaching in an organized fashion. The beginning of gathering together around a common purpose and goal. The emphasis on discipleship, following the teachings of Christ. So this is the birth of the church. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:25 that Jesus loved the church and gave himself up for her. The church is the bride of Christ. I want you to think about this for a minute. The church is the bride of Christ. And so if you want to have a good relationship with me, you probably ought to have respect and appreciation for my wife. If you badmouth my wife, there's a good chance you and I aren't going to be able to be friends. And so the church is the bride of Christ. So how can anybody who's a Christian say, I have a really good relationship with Christ, but I just have trouble with the church? The church is the bride of Christ. If we are journeying with Christ and yet don't have a positive relationship with the church, we're only getting half of the picture here. We're separating a very important piece of the plan that God left for us, which is to journey in community, which is to submit to one another for accountability, for growth, for spiritual formation, for encouragement, for healing. If you have your finger in that place in Acts, we'll get to that now. Why is entering into this thing called the church so important? Well, in Acts 2, 41 and 42, the Apostle Luke writes this. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So why is entering into this thing called the church, why is being part of the body of Christ so important? Well, number one, it's biblical. It's throughout Scripture, like I said, from Acts on, this is God's plan to redeem the world. You and I are part of that. When we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, like it or not, we join the church. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, for we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Meaning, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you start a relationship with Him, when you say, I have sinned and there's nothing I can do to change that, so I accept your forgiveness, you become part of the body. You become part of the church. You can't separate the two. It's the natural progression. So it's biblical. So because we are united to Christ and the other members of the body, we're therefore qualified to identify with a local expression of that body. We're part of the universal church, and so now we're qualified to be part of a local church. And like I said before, local churches are biblical. When you read, if they weren't, we wouldn't have half of the New Testament, because these are letters to local churches. Local church was happening. People were gathering with a common community of believers around a sole purpose for the leading of Christ to do works that God ordained for them to do. That's a local meeting, a local church. Here at Bangor, we believe that purpose is to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in whatever way we can. That's our mission statement. That's what we believe this community is gathered together to do. That is the focus of our local church. Now, if you went to Honey Creek New Providence, probably a similar reason to gather, but they have it worded differently, and it's to speak to the community that they're in. Marshalltown is different. Earlham, different. Middle River, different. I mean, fill in the blank. We gather for a common purpose based on the people that God has put in our lives and the region that we're located in and the gathered gifts of our community. We are going to do ministry different than another meeting. That's why the local meeting is important. We can't all do it the same. You and I are gifted in different ways than somebody from across Iowa might be gifted. And the people that we serve are different personality-wise than some of the people from other parts of Iowa. The local meeting is very important. We read here in Acts of a local body of believers who met in an organized fashion to study, fellowship, break bread, and pray. Luke also indicates that there was some record of who was part of this group. So they were keeping tabs on who was part of this fellowship because they knew that 3,000 were added that day. If that didn't matter, they probably wouldn't have counted. It's important to know who's part of our fellowship so that we can continue to encourage and edify and hold each other accountable and help enter others into the discipleship process that Jesus left for us. The biblical basis for the local church membership is seen in, I've already touched on this a couple of times, the fact that there were local churches in the New Testament. It's also in the existence of church government. There's a system of checks and balances that the church uses for accountability so that one person just doesn't run off and do whatever they want. We are accountable to one another. And while I won't bore you with all the details, I'll give you some references if you'd like to check that later. You can read Acts 20, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 Timothy 3, and 1 Timothy 5, Hebrews 13, and 1 Peter 5. All of these show the areas where there are a system of checks and balances for the church. There are ways for us to be accountable to one another and discern God's leading. There's also the encouragement of mutual edification. Scripture calls us to edify one another by practicing the one another statements. By the way, I did a little research this week, and depending on which translation of the Bible you have, there are about 60 one another statements in the New Testament, and over 20 of them have to do with loving one another. So that's just a little side note, that love is a very foundational element in the local body as well as the church worldwide. Love is the foundation. Love is what sent Jesus to the cross, and love is what should draw us together. Love for God, for one another, and for those that are lost in this world. That should be our driving force. And then one of my favorite one another verses, which I think really sums up and gives power and reason to meeting together in the local church comes from Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some were in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." This is encouragement. This is exhortation to meet together. It's important. And the closer we get to the day of judgment, the more important it is for us to continue to edify and encourage and grow together. To challenge one another when we get complacent, when we start to backslide, when we start losing our purpose, the purpose that God created us for, and we start living the way the world tells us to live. That's why community is so important, because we can bring each other back to center. We can bring each other back to the path and continue journeying the way God intended for us to journey. If the fact that the local church being biblical isn't enough for you, I also have some practical reasons why church membership is important. One, it's connectivity. Being part of a local church gives us an arena to obey the one another commands. It gives us a place to practice what we preach. A safe place to build community and edify and encourage and be discipled. We also have responsibility. Being part of a local church gives us a forum to discover and use our spiritual gifts. I've said it before, and I think some of you still doubt me, but I promise you, every one of you has a spiritual gift. Every single one of you. Maybe you don't know how to use it yet. Maybe it hasn't been refined yet, but I promise you, you have one. And the church is the place where you learn how to use that. You learn what it is. You learn how it's useful in kingdom work. And maybe it's not going to be useful right here. But it's useful out there. It's also about accountability. When we become part of a local church, we're not just saying, I want to be part of the life of the church, but we're inviting the church to be part of our life. We're submitting to one another in humility. This is very important because this is something that not a lot of people are comfortable with. But it's such an important part of the process. It's that iron sharpens iron idea. You know, sometimes it might be a little bit painful. Sometimes it's not going to sound very good. It's that sound of metal grinding on metal. But it leads to being sharp. It leads to being refined, to growing spiritually, to becoming that person that God created us to be. And so while the process isn't always fun and isn't always pretty, the result is beautiful. It also gives clarity. This is a funny story that I read. I hope it's true. I don't know if it is, but I read a story about a believer who was deaf and blind. And despite this, he faithfully attended and participated in the local church of which he was a member. When somebody asked why he even bothered because he couldn't see or hear, he said, I want everyone to know whose side I'm on. It gives clarity. It lets people know what we're about. You know, it's one thing to wear the Christian name tag. It's another thing to live the life. It helps people know what we're about and who we represent. We're ambassadors for Christ. And like I said a few weeks ago, it doesn't matter how you live. If you call yourself a Christian, you are representing Christ in the world. So we ought to live intentionally. We ought to live the way God created us to live and follow the plan and path that he laid out before us. Sadly, that's not always the case. Can you be a Christian without joining a local church? Yes. Yes, you can. But it's very difficult. And often it leads to either complete despair or it leads that person back into a fellowship because of what they're missing. Being a Christian without being part of a local church has been compared to being a soldier without an army or a football player without a team. It's possible. The odds are against you. But it's very difficult to live out the purpose that you were created to live out without having that community, because God created us to be in community. We were created in his image, and he is community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Several years ago, I walked into the doors of a local meeting. Walked in very defensive because I hadn't been living the kind of life that I knew I ought to live. And so when I walked in, I had questions like, what are they going to think of me? What are they going to say about me? Are they even going to care if I'm there? What can this place offer me that other places that I've tried haven't? And I found all the answers to those questions. I found a group of people who loved me, who nurtured me and discipled me, who offered me correction when I needed correction, and accountability when I needed accountability. I met a lot of iron sharpens iron times in that meeting, and it wasn't always fun. And sparks flew, I promise. But I've used this analogy before, and the reason I use it is because I lived it. When I came into the life of the church, I was on this side of that imaginary line that goes down the middle of the church. I came in needing. I came in hurting. I needed healing. I needed teaching. I needed discipleship. I needed love. And that church did me one of the best things that any group of people could do. And it's really the only group of people that can do it is the church. They ushered me across that line. And I went from being a consumer of fruit to a producer of fruit. I went from needing all of these things to being able to offer to those that need it. That's the goal of the church. You know, we hear this analogy that the church is like a hospital, that it's not for the well people, it's for the sick people. And while that kind of plays out, I don't really like that analogy because the church isn't an institution. It's a community. It's you and me. And so I really like the way that Jesus put it the best. It's a body. And because we live in a fallen world, our bodies sometimes are going to have blemishes. Sometimes we're going to get skinned knees and broken bones. Sometimes we're going to get out of shape. A lot of things are going to happen because we're a body. But when we're working together and doing what we're supposed to do, we're accomplishing something. We're accomplishing God's plan and purpose for our life. And I'm convinced that that can only happen in community. A few years ago, Rick Warren wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. And in it, he outlines from Scripture how we were planned for God's pleasure, worship. We were formed for God's family, which is fellowship. We were created to become like Christ, which is discipleship. We were shaped for serving God, which is ministry. And we were made for a mission, which is evangelism. Now, when I read Acts 2, 42 through 47, I see these exact same things. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, discipleship, and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles, worship. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone who had need, ministry. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Evangelism. The purpose-filled Christian life can only be lived through committing to be part of a local body. That's how we were created. That's how it was intended to be. Community, fellowship. Today, that's what we're going to celebrate. I just completed several weeks of journeying with seven very awesome people who have decided that being part of a local body is vital and important to them. I led them through a course that covered our local body of believers and our place in the larger body and our call to love and to serve. We study the church as Jesus intended it to be and the role that we as friends have to play in that larger global church. We've grown to love each other and through our mutual love of Christ. So these are the people that I'm blessed to know and serve side by side with in God's kingdom. And so I want to invite up those seven, and I'll invite Mike as clerk of our meeting to come up with me as well. And I just want to recognize these seven and ask just a blessing over them at this time. So if you seven new members would please join me up here, I would appreciate that.
Well, as clerk of the meeting, I guess I have the honor of representing the meeting and wishing each one of you a welcome and also joining us on this journey that we're all in. We're glad to have you with us and welcome you each one. Shout out to Heath. Yeah, good job. Josie? Oh, I'm sorry. Chris. Larry? Jennifer. Janessa? And Lauren?
And now I'd like to invite up M&C, if you would come and join me up here. I'd just like to have a prayer, not only over these members, but over our church. Again, we're the body of Christ, and we have a mission. And I'd like to just pray a blessing over that mission today. This prayer is one that's often prayed over missionaries as they're sent out. And while I don't know where you subscribe to the idea of apostles, the definition of apostle is sent one. And as Christians, we're all sent somewhere. And so I want to just commission this group, as well as the rest of us, to be available to wherever God might send us, whether that's overseas or to our next door neighbor or to the person in the cubicle next to us, the lady at the grocery store, whatever the case may be. So if you would join me in prayer. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, let us pray. God, you have called us into being through love. You have joined us to one another in love. How good and pleasant it is when your people dwell together in unity. Shine your light upon your people, that we can see the glory of eternal life. Grant these, your servants and their families, and all of us who joined them, the strength to carry your blessing from this place to the next. May they be at home in any land, for all the earth is yours. And with their hope set on your coming glory in the world, live also an alien in all lands. May the lamp of your word guide our feet on the unsure paths of life. Our lives are but a breath, but our breaths are drawn from your divine spirit. You have created us as walking paradoxes, specks of dust and divine image bearers. We are constantly restless until we rest in you. Grant these servants of yours a deeper fullness of being and spirit by carrying your message in love with the support and encouragement of this church with them in the coming journeys that they will endure. May their faces be fuller in glory and joy, now bearing new shape as our faces transform and supplement one another. Go in the peace of Christ to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. And all of God's people said,